Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Well, Chris, arguably the biggest artist in the world has released her long-anticipated new album, The Tortured Poets Department. Yesterday, the debut single Fortnite featuring Post Malone was released as the lead single. And also on yesterday, when she released a teaser trailer for the upcoming music video for that song, Spotify announced that this album had broken the record for the most pre-saved as the most pre-saved album in platinum in their platform history. So the question is, what do two white guys think of it?
Well, I mean, it's a white woman. So, I mean, I put it on at, I think I was listening to it by, I woke up early at like 5:30 this morning because I knew we were doing this podcast
Chris,
episode.
I think we may have listed this in tandem. That was almost exactly the time that I started playing this was 5:30.
Well, and I'm not a hater, you know, I'm not a Taylor Swift hater.
I should stress this. I think both of us in general would say we are more pro Taylor Swift than anti Taylor Swift, because I think we both have a similar opinion on this album, and I don't want the Swifties coming at us like we're just two dudes who hate Taylor Swift.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm pretty much a flat line on Taylor Swift, meaning if there's a great song, I'll be like, hell yeah, that's a great song. If there's a bad song, I'll be like, that's a bad song. I'm an empty canvas when it comes to Taylor Swift. I think it was around the 1989 album where there were a few songs where I was like, okay, I get it now. I get Taylor Swift. She's really good. And wasn't like a mega fan or something, but I was like, yeah, I like some of these. And ever since then, it's been songs here and there. I'm not like, you know, I don't go out of my way to listen to it, but I also don't complain if it's on. I think that's pretty reasonable, right?
No, I think that's fair. I'm probably a little bit more of a fan than you are. So for me, like, I love the 1989 album. I think that's pretty much flawless. I love Lover. I enjoy the folky albums that she did, Folklore and Evermore. I like some of the early stuff. Speak Now and Red are really good. I wouldn't have put Midnights in my top five Taylor Swift albums. It was fine. It was an interesting turn. And I think that that's where I'm coming from on this one as well, is this just feels like a continuation of The Sounds of Midnights, which didn't do it for me in the first place. So like, this is very like that 80s synth hyperwave movement that's going on inspired. And like, that just doesn't, that genre of music in general doesn't do it for me, because I can't really tell when one song ends and another song begins when I listen to hyperwave. And that's how I feel about this record also.
Like, you know, some might argue, as you jokingly started, to whatever middle-aged white guys, what do they think about it? Some might argue, well, this isn't for you. This album wasn't meant for you. Well, here's the thing. I absolutely love pop music. And to be more specific, I love female pop music. Yeah. Like, I love
Carly
it.
Rae, anybody who's listened to the main show knows that Carly Rae Jepsen is, if not your number one favorite artist of all time, definitely in your top five or top 10.
Not like, all time. I don't even know if she's top 10, but I love her music. Yes. And not just her. I mean, everyone from, I don't know, like King Princess to I Told You I Love Every Time That Zedd and Maren Morris Make a Song, I Love It.
Maren Morris, we were going to bring up just because I think Maren Morris has done a great job. I think both of us agree on this, has done a great job of transitioning from country star to pop star in like a beautiful way. Like,
I mean,
dude, her album Girl is amazing. Like, that's like a pretty flawless pop record from a couple of years ago.
I mean, and even if you're talking upbeat stuff, stuff like Remy Wolf that I absolutely love, upbeat pop music. I know that's not what Taylor Swift is doing. My point being that everything from sad indie pop like Verite, which I would argue is probably one of my top five favorite ever, to upbeat happy pop stuff, sometimes like Carly Rae Jepsen or Remy Wolf, stuff like this. I love it. I love pop music. And this album just... it didn't do it for me. We're recording this on the morning it came out. So I'll preface this by saying some of my favorite albums of all time, I didn't like at first.
You hated August and Everything.
Yeah,
and
The Streets, Clarity, all these albums. But I don't feel like this album is one of those. I've listened to, now she released it, the whatever she calls it, anthology, that's like 31 songs or something. Yeah. I listened to what was, I guess, intended to just be the album twice.
The original 16 tracks.
The original 16 twice, and those other 15 songs I've listened to once. Hey, that's all you can ask for me at 9 a.m. on the day it comes out. That is...
No, 100%. 100%. And I would have loved for us to record this on a slightly different day, but I'm going to a convention this weekend. So it was today or well after the time had passed to talk about this album.
It's instant reactions, and it's honest reactions.
Yep.
And my first honest reaction when I listened to this, it was painful for me at some parts how stuffed into the melodies and music the lyrics felt, which... I guess the album is called Tortured Poets Department, and it felt like a lot of bad teen poetry stuffed into melodies that just felt awkward.
So I wanted to see what other critics thought about this before.
They love it. Rolling Stone. People are falling over themselves in love with it. That's what makes me mad is everything. I know it's not. Sorry to interrupt you, man.
But yeah,
I'm just
fine, passionate
about this. I wake up at 9 a.m. I'm going to say, what are people saying about this? It's the greatest thing ever. Can you actually dig in and be like, this is good, this is bad, everything's just like, this is the greatest thing ever, which I'm like, have you listened to any other music ever?
So, yes, as you said, universal acclaim, currently on Metacritic, it's looking at 90 out of 100 from the 8 critic scores it has so far. On the high end, like you said, Rolling Stone gave it 5 stars. And I am actually a big fan of Rob Schofield. He's written some great books about music. He gave it the 5 stars, and he described it as wildly ambitious and gloriously chaotic. I don't know if I agree with that. On the negative side of it was Laura Moley of NME, who gave it 3 stars, but she called it surprisingly flat and cringeworthy at times. And I think I'm leaning way more towards that review.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, I felt like I was like this. My argument was, if you're going to drop 31 songs in a single day, I should remember at least one of them.
I
breezed through this and nothing. I would argue the title track is probably my favorite sounding track, because I did not like Fortnite. When I hit play on Fortnite, I thought, oh no, there's 31 tracks of this. Tortured Poets Department and the track after that, My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, like, kind of hit a little bit more of the like pop sound I was hoping for. But then the more I listened, like I said, the more it just all started to bleed together.
Dude.
And I was just like, I don't know when once I looked at my phone and I listened to 3 songs and I had no clue that like a song had ended and a new one had began twice.
That's what I'm saying, man. I came in here with an open mind. I thought I was going to listen to this thing. Here's what I honestly thought. I thought there were going to be like 4 or 5 songs where I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's undeniable. This is going to be a guilty pleasure. This is going to be whatever. But I can't remember the songs. Like, you would think there'd be a couple that stick in my head. I will say that the only song when I was listening to it and it got to like the chorus or whatever, that I was like, okay. And it took 13 songs to get there. There's a song called I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. Where I
put that as my 3rd favorite song, because that one did jump out at me when I heard it.
Yeah. And another thing about this that I'll look, she's the biggest artist in the world. She can do whatever she wants at this point. She doesn't have to release another album. She'll be the biggest artist just playing her back catalog. So she really can do whatever she wants. And if she wants to put all her feelings and emotions out there, I encourage that. I just don't know. How are people relating to this? It is so specific to like dating and breaking up with the guy from the 1975 and stuff like that. It's so specific. Who else out there is being like, oh yes, my boyfriend also brings his typewriter over to People really use typewriters these days. Like, nothing is relatable. I feel like there's a lot of, you know, I'm a man, and there's a lot of female pop artists who can sing, and maybe it can even be abstract or specific to them, but I can still relate to it. When I'm listening to these songs, I'm like, I could only relate to this if I was a famous pop star who was dating Travis Kelce or dated some skinny British guy at some point. Like, that's the only way this is relatable, if that is why people love it. Because as far as the melodies and the music go, it's so feels so flat.
Well, and I think that this is the problem with all fandoms, right? This is going to sound like I'm coming at Swifties, and I'm not. This is the same with Juggalos. It's the same with like any, it's the same with any, like, you know, Swifties and Juggalos hand in hand. But like, anyone who's like a diehard fan of an artist, is that you do get these, like, you get these blinders where you cannot, anything that that artist puts out is amazing and great and perfect. And I think that people become such a fan that they both kind of lose the ability to be critical of a piece of art from that person. And they also, like, will, because they've obsessed over that person and learned so much about that person's back history, that they'll like try to explain and justify the lyrics because like they've been following the T Swift story. And I mean, I've said this about movies, and I'm going to say the same thing about Taylor Swift. Like, I'm starting to dip out of Marvel stuff because I don't like the fact that there's so much homework to enjoy a Marvel stuff. Like, I shouldn't have to know the entire life history of what Taylor Swift has been up to appreciate a Taylor Swift album.
Is that what is going on with people who are Taylor Swift mega fans? Is it that they want to know about Taylor's life and what she's feeling and what's going on, that when they listen to her new album, it's like opening a book and reading the lyrics and being like, oh, Now we know what's going. Is that what it is? That this is
I
like?
I think it might be. So, have you ever listened to the NPR podcast Dissect?
I have not.
Okay, so I my girlfriend Barb just had me listen to a season of it. So what they do is they pick one album and track by track they like meticulously dissect that song and try to like help you better understand the album, and it mostly focuses on hip hop. And my girlfriend's favorite album is Because the Internet by Childish Gambino. So I'm
great
listening
album.
To the, which I'm liking it now as I'm like understanding it more. I thought it was a very good Childish Gambino album, but like it wasn't like, but
wow.
I didn't understand that you had to like read a script while listening to it. And like
I didn't do that and I loved it.
Yeah. So that's what this Dissect thing is about is Childish, Donald Glover in like, they just put like interview clips. They're not like sitting in the studio talking to him, but he keeps saying that like in this modern day of music, it's not enough to put out a good song. It has to be this full blown immersive experience for the audience. Cause otherwise just a good song, they're just going to pass right by it. So when he released Because the Internet, it came with a script that you would download from his website that would tell you would read the script and then it would say, now play this track. Mm-hmm. And you would like understand the the mindset of the main character that whole album is told from the perspective of. And it's interesting. I think that Taylor Swift has like not to that level, but has latched onto that same thing where being a Taylor Swift fan, I think barely means that you care about the music of Taylor Swift. You care about the entire immersive experience of being a Taylor Swift fan. And that involves following her on social media, knowing what she's doing in her dating life, like going, the fact that she can do a tour called the Eras Tour, where she's going to play songs from every single album that she's ever released, and that she encourages audience members to cosplay as their favorite era of Taylor Swift, and that these fans are so ingrained in that you can show up in an outfit and people immediately know which album that outfit represents. Like, you couldn't do that with Punchline. You couldn't be like, this is the Punchline Eras Tour, dresses your favorite Punchline album. Like, no one would be able to tell one album.
It's a whole different thing, and I would never compare my band to what Taylor Swift is doing.
No, but what I'm saying is, it's so much more than just music.
You don't think people could have done that with Madonna?
Madonna, yes.
Of course.
I mean,
but the songs, it was always the songs stood on their own. And I do think that like up until recently, Taylor Swift did have songs that stood out on their own as songs. I'm not a person who's diving deep into the backstory and love life of Taylor Swift, minus the surface level stuff that everybody knows. But a song like Style or Shake It Off or whatever, these are undeniable hits. And look, I don't think she has to make every song a hit. I think you can make personal weird music, but if Rob Sheffield called this album chaotic, I think that's so wrong. It's the opposite of chaotic. It is like boring.
I just wanted to look this up. Because this is her 11th album. So by comparison, I was like, what was Madonna's 11th album? Now that you've brought Madonna into it. Madonna's 11th album was 2008's Hard Candy, which is an album that I think we've all agreed to not remember existed.
Yeah.
Featuring production and collaboration from Justin Timberlake, the Neptunes, and Timbaland as like a hip hop dance. Like, so I don't know. Like, that has nothing to do with your argument. I just became curious of like, what was Madonna up to by 11 albums?
Yeah.
I think here's what I'm going to say. At this point in time, before we hit play on this record, the only thing we had heard off of it was Fortnite. And I thought that was bad. A lot of the things that we're saying, I also felt when I listened to Midnight. Like, immediately I listened to that the day it came out and I thought, okay, there's nothing memorable on this. It all bleeds together. Then, like, Anti-Hero became, like, this massive earworm song. So I am curious, because you know that whatever song she puts out as singles are going to be inescapable to you, me, and the rest of the world. Yeah. I'm curious, of these 31 songs, like, which ones do we, even 2 months from now, feel like I can't escape this damn song? It's everywhere and it's stuck in my head.
Is it going to be Florida, the song with Florence and the Machine?
I did write that down as a noteworthy song for sure for us to mention.
I mean, I guess why I said none of that one's kind of memorable. I don't really like it, but at least it's memorable. After first listen. And hey, that's a pretty good point about Madonna. Madonna absolutely sucked by her 11th album. And Taylor Swift has taken some swings, taken some chances. And also, hey, if this is what you want to make, if you want to make something that's extremely personal to you, and she could do whatever she wants. It's not, she doesn't have to care what I think about it at all. But I'm just saying, as someone who went into this today thinking I was going to like it and be like, oh, this is undeniable, I really didn't. And Matt, I also thought, how amazing would it be instead of Post Malone on that first song? What if it would have been Violent J? What if
my God. Hell yeah.
Could you imagine?
This is the collab we need in this world, is the ICP T-Swift. The ICT.
ICT. Wow. Could you imagine?
The Insane Clown Tyler.
Yeah.
Have any other closing thoughts on this? Because I mean, like I said, I'm still open-minded to the idea that this album could grow on me, but similar to Midnight's, I don't think that like I said the same thing when we did the Grammys episode. Like, Midnight's to me is not the album of the year, or like the album worthy of album of the year when it won that. Like, I thought that was such a mediocre Taylor Swift release, but everybody else loves it. And I think that that's the case with this one too. And like, who am I really? Like, I'm about to jump in my car and drive to a convention, and I'm going to be listening to fucking like a Disney CD and probably like a bunch of Christian ska music. So like, take every piece of my opinion with the tiniest grain of salt. But like, I am curious to see 2 months from now, 3 months from now, when these songs are everywhere and used in like commercials and are playing in grocery stores, do I go, okay, I find the song is kind of good. You know what I mean? Like, I think the problem, I don't think people are making albums the way that I like albums being made anymore. Which is to say that, like, I like a good concept album, or I like that you sat down and these were the like 10, 12 or 13 best songs that you had written. Right. Mm-hmm. I think now albums, especially for a big artist like this, it's like, it's almost like spray and pray. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, we're going to drop 31 songs in one day, because if just four of them are great and do really well, then we're going to be fine.
Someone needed to narrow this down to the best 12.
They really did. And well, but I also think that Taylor Swift is, here's another weird comparison, but I think Taylor Swift has hit that point where she is to music what like Stephen King is to horror novels, where at this point in time, Stephen King answers to no one. He has editor. You know what I mean? Like, he just sends first drafts of books and they get published.
Right.
Like, there's no chance that there is anybody in any piece of any entourage or anything telling Taylor Swift, like, this song's not good, don't release it.
Well, also, like, it'll probably be like, Taylor Swift breaks record by having numbers 1 through 31 on the top 40 or something. So that's probably part of it, too. Everyone's interested. Everyone wants to read the lyrics, decode the lyrics, even though
they're not mysterious enough. That's the thing.
They're just saying what happened. Like, no one's even questioning who, what song is about or anything. There's no air of mystery. It's just all, here's what happened. She might as well have written a blog.
Yeah. One day she's going to release a book and we're going to buy it, and it's just going to be the lyrics to her last like four albums as chapters.
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, yeah, no, this is the story. We knew the story already.
Yeah. That being said, do what you want. When you are this huge and you are this powerful and famous, do whatever you want. Like, but part of it is, maybe two guys on a podcast the morning it comes out are talking about it. You created this conversation, and that's a good thing. I like talking. I like talking about music and stuff like this. It's a fun conversation piece. And for that, I give Taylor Swift credit, and for being, as we've said many times, a pretty cool person who's released a lot of great music and made a lot of people happy. I just don't think this is her best effort, in my opinion.
No, and I agree with you on that. And again, I'm sure that there are... Chris, this bonus episode might do exactly what we hope it does, but it also might be a lot of angry Swiftie one-star reviews coming
out. Oh, no.
but like I can't stress enough that like we are not Tay haters. Like, we both, I actually genuinely think, in a world where I believe that there are no good billionaires, I feel like she's the one that's trying the hardest to be an example of a good billionaire. And I hope that more people kind of attempt to follow in that model if they find themselves blessed enough to be making that much money to like just tip every person you see a couple $1,000 as you're like leaving. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she does insanely nice things. And I do think that she gives a shit about her fans. I don't think that even as big as she's become, she's lost. Right. She's lost that. You know what I mean? Like, there are those pop stars.
She didn't pull an Ellen.
Exactly. Like, I think that, and she's going to be fine. If she hears this episode, she'll cry a little bit, and then she'll get over the fact that the guys at One Hit Thunder didn't like her new album.
guys from a One Hit Wonder podcast are talking about her album. That's how big she is. People that make a One Hit Wonder podcast are talking about it. But I would encourage anyone out there who, you know, if you're a giant Taylor Swift fan, you might relate and think the songs are better by someone who isn't a billionaire and still is feeling the struggle. I know we all feel Taylor Swift's struggle, but she is, I don't see how she could have any worries in life ever.
Like, exactly.
I don't know. All right.
Well, real quick, whenever we do these bonus episodes, the one big benefit of them is that they are probably the most timely recordings we ever do. So if you're listening to this the day it came out and you happen to live near Gettysburg, I'm at the Creature Feature Weekend convention right now. So come and say hi. I'm moderating three events there, so that should be fun. And Chris, not only, I think last time we did one of these, you were talking about the pre-sale tickets for Spilled Canvas is up, but you've also announced kind of the show that everybody was waiting for, which was when the Action Anniversary Pittsburgh show is happening. When are those tickets up for pre-sale?
They are up for sale today, the day this episode comes out. And the show is until November 30th. But hey, if you like my band, it should be our biggest show ever. So pretty fun thing to look forward to. Maybe by November 30th, Matt and I will be talking backstage saying, man, remember when we said that Taylor Swift album wasn't that good? And it might be our favorite album ever made by then.
Yeah.
And
who
you
knows?
Never know.
Who knows?
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like the Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.